Good morning. Isn't God good? I don't know who put all these decorations up. I'm sure it had something to do with Tammy and Carol and all those guys. But it sure looks nice, doesn't it? Thank you for doing that, you guys. It's such a blessing to come to our church when it's festive. And you know, as we approach Christmas, I just wanted to encourage you to think about how you can... how you can think outside the box when it comes to Christmas, right? Because we get so caught up in the holidays, right, and all the busyness and all the drama of what's going on. And it's important to have family over and to do all those things. But let's remember that the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of Christ being born in this earth, right? And it's such a blessing to be able to share. It's a great opportunity to share with people the love of God this time of the season, to reach out to people that are in need and are in need of hope. And remember, when Jesus came, he said, "Peace I bring, good tidings, goodwill towards men." Amen? That's something we forget in a time like this, right? You know, Jesus came to the earth to bring peace. You know, it doesn't seem like that's that much peace going off all the time. Doesn't seem like there's always good tidings and goodwill towards men. You know, sometimes it can be confusing because there's so much of the enemy in this world. It's sometimes hard to see what God's plan and purpose is in it. But you know, God did come to bring peace. He came to bring peace to this world. Jesus came to bring us life and life more abundantly. He came to bring us the life of Christ. The life of God in our life so that we can live out and shine our light forth to a dying world. Do you know, peace comes through us connecting with that peace. You know, peace just isn't, you know, God, Jesus came, He finished a work and He established a church, and it's now the responsibility of the church to bring that peace to the earth. It's the responsibility of the church, the kingdom of God, to see peace and good tidings and goodwill towards men be spread throughout the world. And how much more in a time like this, in a time of despair, in a time of wonderment, a time of people being unemployed, a time of people wondering about what the world has to offer, great concern and fear, how much more shall we, the church, bring peace? We're the carriers of that peace. We're the ones that are designed to shine forth the light of the glorious gospel to a dying world. So we've got to encourage, I want to encourage you guys. We've got to stand up to be a peace in a place of chaos. We can't, I think Keith was so good last week. We can't get caught up. It's easy to get caught up. You know, it challenged me. You know, we can't get caught up in the negativity of the world. We can't get caught up in the short-sightedness of the way the world looks at things. Because we know we live in an eternal kingdom. And we have eternal principles in our mind and in our hearts that establish us. I thought it was great because, you know, what he did was he established that we need to be focused on what God's doing today so that he can build a bridge to the future for people. You know, people that don't have Christ right now today, they need Jesus in the future, right? And the way they're going to get Jesus in their life and the way they're going to get ultimate peace is through our life and testimony before them. How much more a time shall we be standing up as Christians and become the salt of the earth and become the preserver for a dying generation? How much more the opportunity for us to shine forth? You know, I think about the different times that the enemy's been able to hold the church down. You know, I think about if you look historically in the dark ages and in the time frames that it seemed like the church was not. It's because the church was not being the light. It's because there were just a few, a remnant, a minute piece of minor people that were on the fringe of what would be considered the universal church. We can't ever let that happen again. We've got to stand in a place of strength as a church, as a body, and as a universal church. And we do that when we flow in the life of Christ. Not allowing the enemy to hold down the church or push it down, but living our life in a great testimony before the world. Because ultimately the world needs what we've got. We're the only prescription they'll ever find peace in. What we have is the key to their life. What we have is the key to their success. What we have in our hands and in our hearts is what they need every single day. It's the only prescription that will cure their ailment. I don't care whether they have a lot of money or they have anything. We're the only prescription. What we have in our hearts and in our hands is the only prescription for a dying world. It's the only thing that's going to cure them. The only thing that you know, everybody's searching for cures for everything. Well, we got the cure. Amen? We've got the cure for what ails this world. We've got the cure. It's in our hearts and it's in our hands. It's in our laps. It's right now what you're holding in your arms and in your hands. It's what you read every day, hopefully. It's what you live every day. It's the testimony you have before people. That's the prescription that this world needs. Amen? Amen. So this morning I want to take some time. You know, about 3 or 4 Sundays ago, I started talking about the vision of Vi's Word, which is training and stabilizing and maturing to reach the lost for Christ. And I spent some time, and I want to just kind of emphasize a few more things this morning on that same subject. I felt like I didn't quite get time to finish, so I want to take some time. But this morning I want to just recap slightly, just for those people that may not have been here. Because everything I just said is what we need to do. Okay? Everything that I just said is what we need. We are the prescription for a dying world. We're that peace that they're looking for. We're that encouragement that they're looking for. We're that answer for what they need. You got to get that. You don't lack anything. You have everything you need to reach your own self, but then to reach beyond yourself and be an answer for other people. You're not lacking anything. The kingdom of God lacks nothing for what this world needs. That's just fact. Now we know we got an enemy that runs around and he likes to rear his ugly head and do what he does. But you know, we also got an enemy within us. Pastors talked a lot about how much of the enemy that's within us actually hinders us even more. And that would be called our flesh, right? My own body, my own physical body is my worst enemy. He's a worse enemy than the devil could ever be. The devil's defeated. You know, and I'm not saying that he's not impactful on this world. He does. He carries a lot of weight when it comes to this world system. But we don't need to fear him because he's defeated. You know, Jesus defeated the devil. Get that. Jesus defeated and conquered the enemy. Do you know that Jesus also conquered his own flesh? And do you know what? He gave us the tools we need to conquer our flesh. See, where Jesus could defeat the enemy for us, he could defeat his own flesh, but the only thing he could do was give us the tools we need to conquer our own flesh. So that's in our hands. That's what's difficult about getting a hold of being a Christian. Because, you know, there's a lot of verses that talk about how God sanctifies us and God does great things for us. But He's done a lot of these things and He's put them in our hands to do something with them. Yeah. See, it's not about Him just doing everything for us. Although He's accomplished a lot for us, and if we'll get into His mode of way of doing things, we can have much more peace and much more comfort in our life. But you know what happens is our flesh rules us so much of the time. Our flesh rules us so much of the time. And you can read about the things that are in the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, the same as you can read about the things and the attributes that are in our born-again spirit. Selfish ambition, witchcraft, adultery, all these things. All these things are resident within your flesh. And just because you got born again doesn't mean they just automatically go away. That's why the enemy wants us, or that's why God wants us to crucify the flesh. Because the only way to put it down is to reckon it as dead. The only way to put it down is to reckon it as dead. The only way to put it down is to reckon it dead. You know, when you don't, how many times do you go and fellowship, have great fellowship with dead things? You don't talk back and forth to dead. I mean, you know, sometimes we go and we talk, you know, at a graveside to our loved ones, knowing that, hey, they're somewhere, right? But we're not talking to the dead thing, and we're talking to them. Their spirit, right? Because they're somewhere. Hopefully they're in heaven. Only we'll know when we get there. But ultimately, you know, I can sit here and talk to this plant all day long, but it ain't talking back to me. And they do say, I guess plants, you know, are encouraged by us talking to them, but, you know, and so maybe they bloom a little more. This is fake, but, so I doubt this one's moving at all. It's dead. It's plastic. But this plant ain't talking back to me. Okay, because it's dead. And that's what God's asked us to do. He's asked us to reckon our flesh dead. See, that's a mindset we've got to get. That's a mindset we got to get. And we were talking about how this church is about training, stabilizing, maturing. You know, you got to understand that these are all principles that are taught in this church because this is what we're called to be. You know, I constantly ask myself, God, why can't I teach on end times or something like that? That'd be really cool. But I never feel compelled to do that, mostly because I don't know nothing about it. But Pastor Cook could do it. But Pastor Cook hardly ever talks on that. Not that it's not important for us to know. Not that he shouldn't teach on it, and he has in the past, and I believe he will again. But what I hear Pastor Cook and what I hear Pastor Jan and what I hear other teachers that teach in this church, they're always talking about us building ourselves up in character so that we can carry the spiritual life that God has given us. See, we're about training and stabilizing and maturing. It's important that we get a hold of that because that's what this church is about. That's why you get excited about being whipped every single service. I mean, you ever feel like you just got slammed? You know, I don't know. I always feel like I'm like that. Pastor, he's whipping me today, you know, or I'm whipping you guys. I always go up and say, wow, that was a nice little thing you did. You really encouraged the people today. But, you know, I'm not here to encourage your flesh. I'm not here to encourage your flesh. I am not here to encourage your dead, stinking flesh. If you want to be entertained, there's plenty of things in the world you can go do to get entertained. You can get an emotional high and your flesh will be all excited. But guess what? That high and that emotional high, it has a downside too. You can get high, but you know what? Your flesh will only take you so high. And then guess what? You're going to hit rock bottom again sometime. You're going to meet yourself again. And guess what? That emotional high and that fleshly entertaining thing, it's now seeking something else to go get. See, we're not about training and stabilizing and maturing your flesh. We're about helping you understand that you are a spiritual being. And you've been called, according to God, to take dominion and a position of authority over your flesh. So that it dies. So that you're not talking to it and listening to it. You know what? How many of you guys talk and listen to your flesh today? Oh, don't quit lying. I'm preparing for preaching and I can't hardly... And my mind is reeling. I'm like, okay, God, is this you or is this my flesh? I don't know. It's hard. It's hard because you know what? Our flesh is too much a part of us. That's why we have to seek the things of God. You know, I was talking to the young people last year at winter camp, which is coming up. So kids, get signed up. It'll be good. I'm sure pastor's going to hook you up. But I was talking to the young people last year at winter camp about we put the effort and the time into the things we value. We put effort and time into things we value. Right? And I use the illustration I put $50 up there or $100. I don't remember what it was. Somebody won $50. Anyway, I had a $50. And I said, if you can memorize 50 verses, I'll give you the $50. Okay? So there was somebody, I don't remember, was it, oh, Josiah, yeah, right. He came up there and he kind of did a pretty good job. It was close. But he put effort into thinking about 50 verses. You know, other kids were putting effort into throwing snowballs at each other. Okay? And that was okay. It was because it was winter camp. But for him, it was valuable to do that because he wanted the $50. And I was using that to illustrate that we will put time and effort into the things we value. You see, we do a lot here at By His Word Christian Center to institute value to something. Pastor talks a lot about valuing something. You may have to think of through it and, you know, get around it, but what does he talk about? He talks about us valuing our spiritual connection to God. and investing in our spiritual walk before God. See, because if we value it, then we'll invest in it. If we value our relationship and our spiritual connection to God, then we'll invest in the time and the energy and the relationship that we have with Him. We put our effort into things we value. We put our effort into things we value. We put our effort into the things we desire. Now, we know we have to live in this world, right? I mean, we connect with the... That's what's really funky about our Christian walk. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, because we live in this world. Our flesh is still connected to us. It's still here. And as much as I want to kill it, it still comes and rears its ugly head every single morning when I wake up. That's why it takes conscious effort on your part to take a position over your flesh. You know, if there's one thing I could get the young people in this church to figure out or get a hold of, is that your flesh is a zero-sum game. Your flesh is going nowhere fast. And what's hard is because, you know, we're trained from the time we're a little baby that if we want something through the flesh, we do things and we get the answer. We're trained immediately, you know. If we want food, we're uncomfortable, we cry, and we get food, right? If we want a diaper change, we cry and we get the diaper change, right? So we know, we learn quickly that there's a position that our flesh is in, that if we want something and we do other things, certain things, we get our way. Immediately from the time we're born, we're basically taught to be very self-centered. Our flesh is self-centered. And you know, we go through the course of, and I've got three young kids and I'm just now reaching into the teenage years. But what I understand is that my kids are fleshly beings. They're carnal. Just like every other kid around here. And I'm trying hard. I'm trying my best. You know, as I know how to do, I'm trying my best to instill into them a value that what's good in the world, or what's good in God, goes beyond what just our flesh wants. It goes beyond just what our emotions want. It goes beyond. You know, when you're trying to form, you know, this is my toy, and you're trying to get them to the concept of sharing and how important that is. That's a concept outside of what their flesh and their carnal thinking wants to do. Now, some kids are real compliant. I don't know what creates that, but there's certain kids that have a concept or a theory or a mindset that what they have, you know, is maybe somebody else's, and so they're okay sharing, and so they learn value. I don't know whether it's because they feel good when they give something, but I know most kids want to keep the toy they got. Okay. And at some point in time, even the kids that are good sharers have certain things. They're like, I don't want to share that. That's mine. Right? So these are things that our flesh and our carnal mind are constantly educated and trained into. From the get-go, from the start of when we just got onto the earth, we're immediately educated 100% into our flesh. Did you realize that? Our flesh knows that it's certain things wants and certain things that it's going to get, and it finds a way to get them. Problem is that we carry that mindset and that thinking process out throughout the rest of our life too. And God wants us to grow up. Right? So he wants you, you know, you can take that same concept and translate it into when you first got born again. I don't care whether you got born again when you were 20 or 30 or 50 or 100. I don't care when you got born again, but when you got birthed into the kingdom of God, it was about what you're getting. You didn't really understand it. You were just absorbing, right? But at some point in time, you have to learn the value system of what God wants us to learn. Whether you're talking about spirituality or carnal life in this earth, we have to learn the value system that God operates in. We have to learn how God values things. We've got to learn how God looks at things so we can build our desires correctly. So we can camp ourselves in the right mindset. So we can place ourselves into the right mold of thinking or mode of thinking. You know, if young people at the age of 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever age can get a hold of this concept that my natural life is of zero value unless it's ordered by the kingdom of God. Because if you put more value in your spirituality, then you're going to get what God has for you. But if you put more value in what's natural and carnal and fleshly, then you're going to get what the world has for you. It happens every time. I don't care what happened. Because in the end, there may be points of gratification, like I got this toy and I want this toy and it's the right toy. But, you know, it's my toy and I kept it and my parents didn't see it. But if I can teach my child that, you know, it's a good principle. That just because it's yours doesn't mean that you have to own it. You can also share and you get, there's value and there's things that are built inside of you that connect to the idea that I should think outside of myself. And share my toy. You see? But it's the same thing whether you're born again or you're just getting born into the earth. You know, as a baby, the same principles hold true. The same process of education takes place. A big part of what Pastor Jan and Pastor Cook and many of the teachers in this church try to do is try to get you focused on that which is spiritual. So you'll put your value in those things that are spiritual. Because, you know what, bottom line is if you don't have your value there, you're not going to do what we say anyway. You're not even going to think about it. I started my message a few weeks ago by saying, you know what, if you don't have a spiritual father over your life, if you aren't submitted, then that's the first step. I mean, how are you going to grow if you can't even submit to what God's authority system is in the earth? There are young people in this room today that have a hard time submitting to their parents. They're earthly parents. I believe that's just a reflection of how you're treating your heavenly parents. That's why the Bible says, honor and obey your parents, for it is right in the Lord. Do this, and it comes with a promise. It's the first commandment with a promise. If you do this, it will go well with you. But it's not just for kids, right? Because we have spiritual fathers. We have spiritual parents, so to speak. It's not just for kids. You know, is it only important for my child to honor and obey me and not for me to honor and obey my parents and my spiritual parents? These are principles because I know that in honoring and obeying spiritual parents or spiritual fathers in my life, things will go well with me. It's a commandment with a promise. Biggest thing a young person can get is if I can learn to honor and obey my parents, then I know that if I can force myself to honor and obey my earthly parents, it's going to be much easier for me to honor and obey my heavenly parents. It's going to be much easier for me to obey God. It's principles. See, you've got to get them rooted in your heart. You've got to get them established, but you've got to want to. You know what? I can sit here and preach all day long. I can close the book and be done. You guys will leave. Happy day. It's a great day. Well, it was a good message. Great message. Wonderful, wonderful way. Yeah, praise God. Do you go out there and you do nothing with it? It's of no value. It's of no value. Zero value to you if you do nothing with it. If I don't have a heart change, then how do I get into God's economy system? How do I get into the way God does things? If I don't change the way I think about things, if I don't change my actions, if I don't change my behavior, and more importantly, if I don't change my heart, then how can I ever get into God's economy system? Right. See, this is one of the great perplexing things in the kingdom of God. I think, you know, it's great. We get saved. We're saved. That's wonderful. It's a great place to be saved, right? But God has more for us. He didn't just call us to be saved. And you know what? I was looking this morning just in the New Testament, you know, in a couple of places. I want you to go to 1 Peter. You know, I found something interesting in the New Testament. The whole of the New Testament is really gearing towards telling us to grow up. If you think that you're going to come to church and you're just not going to hear about the fact that you need to grow up, you're wrong. If you're going to come to a Bible-believing, New Testament preaching, Kingdom of God church, you're going to hear about grow up. You know, and that's not a comfortable thing. It, you know, in Hebrews it says that, you know, we don't like it when our fathers necessarily beat us and whip us and train us and do all the things they do. But he says if you learn to trust in it and obey in it, if you learn to value the training that you get, if you learn to value it, then it says you can be changed. You can be changed. Let's go look at 1 Peter. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls by in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel we preach to you. Therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. See, it says as newborn babies desire the pure milk. You've got to desire the pure milk. Until you desire the pure milk, until you desire spiritual things. And it, what did he say before that? He's talking about the Word. He's talking about through the Spirit, through our born-again Spirit, through the incorruptible seed of our born-again Spirit, that we can't value this earth system. That's why he said, all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the God. The grass withers and it falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Our spiritual life endures forever with God. See, if we value the world over God, we will never get into where He wants us to be. But He says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know, the best thing when somebody gets born again would be to fellowship with believers. Why? Because fellowshipping with believers is going to be much better than fellowshipping with the world. The best thing you can do when you get born again, first born again, is come to church. Get involved. Get connected. Because getting connected to God is going to be much better than being connected to the world. One of the hardest things to do is when somebody gets born again, first and foremost is to get them to transfer their allegiance to the world and into the things of God. Why? Because, you know, our flesh is used to living where it lived. And just because we got born again doesn't mean the desires of our flesh go away. But the whole essence of baptism is about putting your flesh down, burying it in the water, basically putting it down so that you come up a new man. It's a concept of the same thing that Christ did. He put His flesh on the cross, but He came up a new man. We do the same thing. We put our flesh on the cross. We put our flesh in the baptismal tank and we go under the water. The whole idea is not to bring the flesh back up with us. It's a mindset we have to be in. The reason we do that when we first get born again, but it's very little taught, you know, water baptism is really a reflection of what's happening inwardly. We can have a water baptismal service right here today, and everybody that's been water baptized could get water baptized again, and it would be a great thing. Because guess what? If we remember that where our flesh is down, it's buried, it's dead, it's in the water, it's gone, it's history, and we come up a new man, we put value in the new man, and we don't put any value in the old. It's all about where you put your value. If you're going to put your value in the old, then you're never going to live the abundant life that God wants you to. If you put value in the old and you live there, you're living like a man that just can't figure out where he's going to go. On one side, I want this earthly, fleshly, carnal life. On the other side, I want this thing that I know God's here. I want that. But if you can't ever get over and step into where God is, you'll never live the abundant, full life. You'll live a life, basically, a life of ineffectiveness. A life of just meandering around the world. You'll live a life just like everybody else. But you're not designed to live a life like everybody else. We don't have to let the dark ages come back to this earth. Because the church can stand up in the light of the glorious gospel, be the city shining on a hill, and we can stand forth and bring peace to the earth. But only if we'll stand up. And in standing up, if peace doesn't come, it's not our problem, right? It's God's problem. But in the end, it's us standing up. Standing up for peace. And, you know, and peace isn't about the peace that we see so many 60s wannabes trying to become. You can't preach peace unless you have Jesus. And so much of them don't have Jesus. They have this concept of peace. The idea of peace. Well, we can just get along. Well, the world will never get along. That's a fact. There's always going to be evil because guess what? The devil's in the world. And he's an evil guy. He's evil. I mean, evil. Just bottom line evil. Nothing good in the guy. And he kind of roams around and he tries to take dominion and position himself for positions of power and authority all over the world. He's done it time and time again. Paul, you know, himself, if you read in Acts, he dethroned a couple of those guys. Because there was enemies, there was devils behind the guys that were in those positions of authority, holding an envelope of darkness over an entire region. I think Paul's the coolest guy in the world. I do. I think Paul's awesome. Not only did he give us so much of the New Testament, but the guy was sharp. He was sharp when it came to the kingdom of darkness. But it doesn't mean it came without a cost. And you can read about Paul's cost. You know, there were many times where he was without, where he was hurt, despaired. But you know what? There was a cost in the natural, but the spiritual was only glory. The spiritual was only life. And the spiritual was only the things that brought peace and life to people. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at this Paul guy. You know, because bottom line is you got to value the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, he wasn't this articulate person in the natural. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared to those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That's talking about our born-again spirit. When we get born again, we got a spirit that searches the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. The Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. Now, it's interesting. I was reading this morning and I just never connected the dots. It's interesting that he talked about how we are spiritual beings and then he went on to say, I can't speak to you as spiritual. He sat there and just said, he basically laid out how we have to value our spiritual life over the things of the world. He talked about how, you know, there's a wisdom that comes. And he was speaking to Corinthians. You know, these guys, they like to pontificate on really cool things, right? They would get in little huddles and they would talk about, oh, the stars and they must be this and all this wisdom. They really puffed themselves up as wise people. Okay? So he's speaking something they understand. He said, I'm not speaking to you in the wisdom that the world brings. I'm telling you spiritual things. I'm telling you that there's a value that you have to place in the spiritual life, your spiritual life, over your natural. There's a value you've got to place there. And then he goes on to say, but I can't speak to you as those people. That's a slam. That's pretty much just saying, you know, I can't talk to you like you're spiritual though because you're not. You're babes. And then he goes on to say why they're babes. Where there are envy and strife and division among you. You say, I'm a Paul. Someone says, I'm Apollos. And basically now he's going on to justify that their life, their spiritual life, had no value because of the things that were coming forth in the natural. Because if they were spiritual beings, if they were spiritual minded people, then they would value the things of God and they wouldn't value the things of the world. They wouldn't be dividing themselves. They wouldn't be doing all these things. See, we've got to value the things of God. We've got to value the things of God. We've got to value our spiritual life. If you don't put any value in it, then you're not going to spend any time with it. If you don't put any value in it, you're not going to spend any time with it. Young people, listen to me. If you put no value in spiritual things, you will not grow. And you'll be 30, 40, 50 year old, and you'll be the same position spiritually you are today. You'll be in the same place spiritually you are today. You got to put value in it. You got to put value in your spiritual life. If pastor teaches anything, he teaches you, put value in that which is spiritual because that which is spiritual will do things for you. Don't put value in the flesh. Don't put value in the flesh. If you desire spiritual things, then truly you'll be growing spiritually. If you value it, you'll spend time with it. You'll spend time with the Father. You'll spend time praying. You'll spend time in the Word. You'll spend time coming to church. You'll spend time getting involved in the church. You'll spend time because those things have value to you and they grow you. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated where I'm at. Spiritually and in the natural. Because I know that my life, my spiritual life, has to come first. But it has an effect in the natural. My spiritual life has an effect. It has impact. If I value it, it will have impact. It'll have more impact. And I get frustrated just like all of us that I'm not where I want to be. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop and I'm going to quit. I'm going to just stand by. I've got to value the things of God so that I continue to grow. You've got to change your mind. You've got to change the concept, your concept. Because training and stabilizing, training is about you getting into a mode where you're training. Remember, I used the example of the Biggest Loser or being in boot camp. Okay? See, but the fact is that I can't tie your flesh down and force you into boot camp. Okay? It's just what I said at the beginning. You know, Jesus conquered the enemy. He gave us the tools we need to conquer our flesh. But He cannot, He will not, tie your flesh down and make it go to boot camp. Get a revelation. He doesn't do that. We do that. And if I don't value it, I'm not putting myself where I need to be. He cannot do that for us. See, this is one of the greatest things that I began to understand. I'm waiting for God to do things for me. He can't do because it's in my hands to do them. Sometimes we're believing for healing. We're believing for things. We're believing for all these things. They're in our hands. We've got to believe. And I don't have all the schematics on what it takes and all the pieces, but I know that everything has been delivered to me to overcome my flesh. I know everything has been delivered to me to overcome the world. I know everything has been delivered unto me to do what God's called me to do. I know there's nothing lacking in my life to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish. The only thing that's lacking is me putting myself where I need to be. The only thing that's lacking is me putting myself into training. Because the only time I'm going to be trained is if I'm putting myself there. That's why if you don't come to church, and that, I mean, it really, truly, guys, if, I mean, I barely make it now on 3 services a week. If I'm only fellowshipping with God 3 services a week, and that's it, that's not enough. And there are times in my life, I'll go in dry spells where that's it. And if I get down to 2 services, or if I miss a service, man, I feel it. And I need those services. Because it's what's keeping me connected. I need it because it's the only life I got, because I'm not spending the time in the morning praying, and I'm not spending the time reading my Bible on my own, and I'm not, so at least at a minimum I have my church. I mean, but if that's the only thing we have, how are we going to go where God wants us to be? It's got to be more than that. And I've always encouraged the young people, you know, because we only do a couple youth services in a week, and then I think a lot of them just come in here and tune out. That's not my service. I don't think so much so more. But I encourage young people, you better show up to church every time church is happening. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's leading worship and what style of music it is. I don't care what's going on. We can get out the banjo and sing songs to Jesus. And I might hate the banjo, but you know what? God's in it. Because right there is just my emotional, stupid mind. The banjo, the piano, the guitar, the worst singer in the world really have nothing to do with worship. Cool songs, fancy things. That's not worship. Worship comes from my heart. If I don't show up to worship God, if I don't show up to be trained when I come to church, then I'm not going to worship God and I'm not going to be trained. Because guess what? It's not God's responsibility. It's not pastor's responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's our responsibility when we're standing at this pulpit. Pastor, myself, Pastor Cook, whoever is standing here and delivering the Word, it's our job to deliver the Word. It's your job to come prepared to hear it. If you're coming and you're not prepared, then that's nothing I can do for you. You know, I can make it fancy. I could jump around. I could get really cool videos. That would be good. It's not bad, though. I'm not saying it's bad to do that. It's good because, you know what? I need somebody. Sometimes I need just some. I'm just so far in my carnal mind and my flesh. I just need somebody to come up with a cool video or a fancy song. Or a really cool thing. But that isn't where it's at. That's just a tool we use to get there. But if it never pushes our flesh down, then what value is it? If I go away going, woo! 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 And I go into my car and I'm woo. And by the time I got home and I'm eating lunch, the woo's gone. What value does it have? Right? What value does it have? I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. We should do those things. Our church should do them. We should do them. Because we need woo sometimes. But just get a clue. The woo moves your flesh, but it's not training you spiritually. The woo might move your flesh out of the way so you can get a hold of God, and that's a good thing. You know, just so you get a word. God wants to get a word in edgewise. I'm going to give Him some woo today so I can get a word in edgewise. That is not God's perfect will for us. That is not God's plan or purpose. I love excitement. I love when God comes in and touches me emotionally. But my emotions are subject to the Spirit of God. My emotions are subject to the kingdom of God. When my emotions tell me I'm in fear, then I have to take dominion over that position of emotion. When my emotions tell me I'm excited about something that's not godly, which, has that ever happened to anybody? Is it me? Ever went to a rock concert or something? I don't know. But I mean, the world can get our emotions going, right? But just because my emotions are going doesn't mean that I'm where God wants me to be. You know, that's why that's where some of the biggest relationship mistakes are made. It's because we make our decisions in our emotions. And guess what? Sometime soon after that, reality shows up. And the emotion thing's gone. I was listening to somebody on the radio the other day, and they were talking about how, and I know this church is too smart to believe this, they were talking about how their husband divorced them because that feeling was gone. No longer felt in love, didn't have no passion, no desire, no nothing. Guess what? Feelings and emotion are way overrated. I mean, it's great when you have them, but there's going to come a day when you're going to be sitting in front of your spouse and the feelings and the emotions are going to be gone. And what you're going to be faced with at that point in time is a decision about what you value. You're going to be faced with a decision about what you value. Same thing will happen at a church. We come, we get excited. Oh, I love the Word. I mean, I've had lots of people come up to me in the course of the several years that I've been here and say, I love this church. And then 6 months, they're gone. Well, how can it go from loving the church to being gone? Well, who knows? I don't know. It was probably emotions, you think? So, see, emotions are not anywhere we connect. We don't connect to things and emotions because emotions are shallow. Emotions are weak. Unless they come from a choice that's convicted by the things of God. There have been times when I've chosen to do things and I got emotion about me. But it was godly emotion. It was sometimes some over the hump. It wasn't like it was this shallow thing anymore. You know? And I've been married now, I said it wrong the other day, 16 years, right? That's long enough to go through a few things like that, right? 16 years agreed. How many guys have been married 16 years or more? A few people, right? Am I right on that? You go through a little bit. It's a couple. Okay, it wasn't just me. I'm just making sure. So I went through a couple, you know, things like that. Yeah. Actually, you know, I always say this. You know, Tina doesn't like me to talk about me myself, but our first couple of years of marriage were the easiest. Guess why? Because I worked a swing shift and she worked day shift. And then guess what? I started working days and we got to see each other. And then we fought a little bit more second, third year. It was kind of like, wow, is this what happens after the first year? I guess that must be the reason. But, you know, we go through these things, right? We go through these things, these waves of highs and lows. What I found is that when I'm in the low and I choose to act on the Word of God in my relationship and I choose to do what's right despite my feelings, my emotions, my flesh, my carnal way of thinking, the way I want, when I choose to overcome the emotions of what my flesh wants to do, when I choose that, guess what? Then I get an emotional rush on the other side of it. It doesn't feel very good in the middle of it because I'm like, this is going contrary to everything I feel right now. I feel like I have no passion. I feel like I have nothing. I have this. I know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I'm pushing through this. My choice is to do the Word of God. I've committed to my relationship with my wife. I'm going to overcome this position and I'm going to make it. And I come out the other side and I'm more committed. And I'm more emotionally connected. But it's not fleshly, carnal emotion. It's godly emotion. See, God wants us to grow spiritually. But we've got to come past the place where we're only living in our flesh. And it only comes when you do the Word of God. See, you got to bury the flesh because that's what we've got to do. You got to, the whole baptism thing, you know. I like what Pastor said sometimes, you know. Sometimes I feel like with certain people, I just want to hold them down there because that's the only way it's going to overcome. This will really overcome their flesh. I don't think that would be good. They would be in jail. But come on. You know? If he can see that about me, I need to see that about me. Right? I mean, what value does it have for everyone around us to know that we're losers and we can't see it ourselves? I mean, that's great that everybody around us knows we're losers when it comes to certain things. But if I can't see it, how can I change it? If I don't know it, then I'll never change it. If I don't let God speak it to me, then I certainly will never change it. And it's all about positioning ourselves where our value is. If our value is our emotions, our flesh, our carnal way of thinking, if that's what we value, if that's what we value more than the other, then that's where we'll be. See, we can talk about training and stabilizing and maturing all day long, but you have to value the process that God's going to take you through. And one of the things that's really helped me is to understand that while God's grace is sufficient for me, I have to step into that grace. I mean, one of the great things I began to understand about the kingdom of God, because I want to believe that truly I can trust in Jesus and He's going to do it for me. But I know in certain things He can't. He can only be there to help me if I let Him. It's no different than a father talking to his son when you're disciplining your children and you're telling him, this is what you need to do. Well, it's only valuable if the child listens. Otherwise, you're talking to the wall. Do this! Jesus does the same thing with us. He puts us on the course. He puts us on the right path. But we've got to want to be there. We've got to take the training. We've got to take it. But we've got to put ourselves there. We've got to put ourselves there. Because truly, when we get there, then ultimately it comes. It doesn't come to where ultimately it doesn't. It's not about only what I get from the three services a week at church. It's more than that. God wants to get us to a place where it's not about you having to come, Billy. It's where I can tell you, you know, Billy, it's important you sit on that pew right there. You know, if you don't sit in that pew every service, you're dying. You're dead. You're gone. Toast. So Billy, you know, if he's a smart guy and he listens and trusts me and he believes that it's of God, he's going to sit on the pew, right? Because I said so. I mean, he could submit to me and sit on the pew. And that would, he would have value if that authority was given to me by God and I spoke that as a word from God, then that has value. It gives Billy a point, a focal point for him to look at me. But if Billy never gets to a place where he wants to sit there, if Billy never gets to a place where he learns what the principle of sitting there is all about, if he just comes and sit here and just sits there, I know I got to sit here. That's what he said. So he comes and sits there and then he leaves and he sits there and he leaves and he sits there and he leaves and he sits there and he leaves. He sits there and he leaves every day, every day, every day, every day, every week, 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 month, 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 year, year, year. He sits there, leaves. He'll get no value if he just sits there because I told him to. There's a principle that's at work behind God telling him to sit there. There's more involved than just sitting there. There's more to it than just that. Just like, you know, we used the example last service where, you know, the boot camp guy, he goes out and tells him to clip the grass. It's not about clipping the grass, right? You know, if your drill sergeant, if you're doing something wrong and he tells you to go clip the grass with scissors, it's not about clipping the grass with scissors. Your focal point is, I can't believe he'd make me clip the grass. Why can't I have a mower? I mean, I got a rider at home. I'll go pick it up. I'll bring it back. I'll be done before I would be done here. You know? It's not about that. It's not about the mowing, right? What is it about? It's about you getting into a position where you can listen to your drill instructor. Whether he tells you to clip the grass or he tells you to take that bunker over there. It's a concept that has to be instilled in you to bring value to you when you're in the heat of the battle. And guess what? You're going to be in a battle. Both in the natural and here. Billy's going to be in a battle. Pastor Cook's going to be in a battle. Sue's going to be in a battle. I'm going to be in a battle. At some point, we'll be in a battle. And if we listen to the training that we're getting, then we'll be ready for the battle when the battle comes. When God tells me to take the bunker, I'll take the bunker. See, it's got to get past just sitting. It's got to get just past just coming. It's got to get past just get. You got to listen. It's got to be some kind of focal point in your heart that says, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I think some of the biggest detriments of people that I've seen in church, in this church, in any church, anywhere, is when they come and listen to a message and they don't glean any value of it because they don't internalize it and apply it to themselves. They come, they listen, they go, oh, that must have been for somebody else. I didn't get nothing from it. There hasn't been a single message that I've heard in this church other than the times when I've been sleeping. You know, which. But if I'm listening, there hasn't been a single time in this church that I've not got something that I could apply to my life and change my course. I have seen people completely lives destroyed because they can't take the simple word that was preached and apply it to their life. For whatever reason, out of pride, stubbornness, they don't need to listen. But you can see it from the outside looking in, right? It's clear as day. You just apply that right there. You just do it. That will help you. You can see it, but they can't see it for some reason. You know why they can't see it? Because they haven't submitted themselves. They haven't humbled themselves, and they really, really aren't here for training. They're here to just exist. Don't be an exister. Be a doer. God didn't come to give us the Word so that we can just listen to it and it makes us feel good. He didn't just come to tantalize our emotions. He came to bring us correction. He came to bring us direction. He came to bring us the things we need. But ultimately, He wants to get to a place where we can hear that every single day to guide our lives. See, I believe a stable person is someone that has the ability to hear God on their own. That's what I personally believe. We can talk about training all day long, but if you're just coming here and the only word from God you ever hear is from me, or Pastor Jan, or Pastor Ted, or whoever, if the only word you hear is from them, or your parents, if the only word, you've got to get to a place where your God is not your parents, it's your God. I think young people that fail are the ones that don't ever get a hold of their parents' God. I think young people that fail, say it again, are the ones that never get a hold of their parents' God. In other words, they're serving God through their parents. Well, my parents made me come to church, so I got to go to church. Must be the right thing to do. I got to go to church. When does church become you going to church? I mean, the younger we can make that happen, the better. I mean, if you get young people at age 2 to want to come to church because they believe that God's at church, that's a good thing. That's why the worst thing you could ever do and the worst imprint you could ever make on your child's mind is to speak down on authority. Because you know what your children see? Because they're fleshly and carnal. They see people before they see God. They see God in you. They see God in their pastor. They see God in their teachers. They see God in all these people that are around them. But ultimately, we as a church want to get them to where they see God. So if you speak negatively about a teacher, a pastor, to a child, what have you just imprinted? The only God they know is the God that's right in front of them. So if you've taught, if you told them that, hey, your teacher's whacked. They're whacked. And you say all those things and, you know, or let's say you had a division against them and you talk about them with them. That's very difficult because what you do is you imprint in them. That's the God they see. So if I don't value that position that teacher has because they were installed by Pastor Jan and the line of authority flows from him down to them, even if they are whacked, I still have to honor them in the position they hold before my children. If I don't honor the position, then I'll get them into a place where they won't respect authority. And when they don't respect authority, they won't ever get connected to the real authority, which is God. See, we have to be stabilized. It's not about connecting to people anymore. See, people that are taken out when ministers fall are people that aren't connected to God. I hate to say that. People that fall, say it again, people that fall out of Christianity as a result of a minister failing before them or somebody in authority failing before them are people that have not drawn a line from the minister to God. Because I, as a person in authority, could step outside of the authority, right? Because I'm an individual, right? And if you've got your eyes only on me, guess what you're going to do? You're going to step right out with me. And that's a person that's immature. That's exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians when he said, you have your eyes on Paul and Apollos. You have your eyes on all these other ministers. You have your eyes on other people. You're dividing yourself. You're moving yourself around because you have your eyes on man. What you need to get a hold of is the first part of 1 Corinthians where it says, you've been called. You're now spiritually connected to God. It's not about that person. It's not about that person. It's not about that person. It's about being connected to God. And if you're connected to God, then you're protected no matter who the person is that's moving outside of the realm of authority. See, I think we as a church need to be about stabilizing people, right? That's what Bias Word's about. You got to be more. You as a body, you as people have to be more. You have to do more than just come to church. You got to be stabilized, which means you're outside of church, you're connected to God. Right. It's not about 3 services or 2 services or 1 service or 10 services or 20 services. It's about being connected to God. We could do 150 services a week and you could not be connected to God. We could do 1 service a week and you could not be connected to God. We do 3. And if you're only coming to 1 and the rest of the week you're not connecting to God, I don't know how you're living in this day and age. Because I can barely make it. Honestly, people, I can barely make it on 3 if I'm not fellowshipping with God otherwise. If you're a young person and you're only listening to Pastor Ted and that's the only time that's your church, and that's it, then you are miserably hanging out in the desert. It's so dry. But it's okay to connect with church that one time. It's okay, but you know what? It's going to be so much better if you connect to God other times. If you want to really stabilize your walk before God, you'll get connected to Him. If you really want to get stabilized in your walk before God, you'll connect to Him. I'll say it again. If you really want to get stabilized in your walk before God, you'll connect to Him. Because connecting to the church and connecting to people is where it's at. We have to connect to people. We have to connect to the church because that's where we demonstrate our love. It's where we fellowship. It's where we rub elbows. It's important. It's valuable. We can meet 20 times a week and it would be a great thing. We can meet once a week and it could be a great thing. But if I don't connect to God, then where is it at? I'm just a person like Billy sitting on the pew because somebody told me to. If you're sitting here because your parents told you to, you got to get past that. Because that's not going to have any long-term impact on your life. You got to get past that. You know, now you might say, well, I don't want to sit here. Well, that's fine. Guess what? I can't change that. I'll say it again. That's fine. Guess what? I can't change that. I can't make you want to sit here. I can make you sit here, but I can't make you want to sit here. But if you don't value God, then you're not going to value sitting here. And that's a fact. That's just the bottom line. But there's going to come a day when your parent can't make you sit here anymore, and you're not going to be here. You know why? Because you're going to be doing what you want to do. Because nobody's going to be holding you accountable to it. If this isn't a message for anybody, this is a message for young people. I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying today. Young people, listen to me. If you don't want to be here, you're not going to be here, whether you're here or not. But if you value the things that God has for your life, you value peace, you value prosperity, you value good things. If you want to honor and obey and let good things happen to you, those are good things. Those are all promises that you can count on. I know you can count on them because I've seen them work in my life. I'm not speaking over some theory that I just kind of believe. I'm speaking for things that I know to be true. These are facts. You can bank on it. Okay? You can put money in the bank on this one, and it's a good investment. It's not gonna, it's not gonna lose half its value. I guarantee it. You can put money on the bank on this one. If you value the kingdom of God, you'll be blessed. If you value your spiritual life over your fleshly carnal life, you'll be blessed. If you value the things of God, you'll be blessed. You can bank on it. But if you value the world, 10 years from now, you can come tell me how that worked out for you. Because I guarantee it will not work. You will live a life of despair, agony, defeat. You'll think you're living a life possibly of fun and great and good times, but in your heart of hearts and in your quiet time and your place of just you and God and then nobody else, you will be miserable. How do I know that? Been there, done it. Amen? We've got to value the things of God. 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 I'll say it again. We've got to value the things of God. Because in valuing God's kingdom, then we will be blessed. We can be under His economy system. We can be under His ways of doing things. And that's where we can find true blessing and peace. But if you don't, you're not going to. Because I can't force you to be there. Nobody can force you to be. Your parents can't force you. They can force you to sit here. But they can't force you to be there. Get to the place where your parents aren't forcing you to do something that's good for you. Get to the place where you value. You know, your parents don't have to tell you to get up and get dressed in the morning. Why? Because you value being warm. Right? And you value not being ridiculed by your friends. Right? And you value these things. Well, it's the same thing. Your parents told you to get dressed in the morning because they know it's the right thing to do. They tell you to wear a coat because they know it's the right thing to do. You know what? Parents probably are pretty smart. Not all parents. I'm not always smart. But parents have a lot of wisdom. Because God said that He put them in your life for you to value them and listen to them. And that goes for spiritual parents as well as earthly parents. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for the Word. I thank You for the message, Father God, that it just... Father God, I pray that it just ministers to the hearts of people. Father, we got to value the things of Your kingdom more and more, Father. I just thank You that You help us to do that. Father, I pray for every single person in this room that they would just get their hearts right this morning with You. Father, this is a perilous time we live in, and I'm not sure what the future holds, but I know, just like Pastor or Reverend Hershey, Father God, I know that we can trust in You in this perilous times. I know if we're in Your economy system, if you're in Your way of thinking and Your way of doing things, we're protected. Father, I pray that every single person would change their heart if they're not there. I pray that every single person would get connected to You, Father God, so that they truly can become that shining light on a hill. So we're not moving into dark times, Father God, but we're moving into the times where Your church can shine forth like it never has before. Father, as the darkness gets darker, Father God, let Your light shine brighter. Father God, let the church shine brighter. Let us individually shine brighter so that we can shine forth our lights, Father God, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes, Father God, in our church, in our community, in every area we touch, Father God, I pray that we shine forth that light. Father, I pray right now for every single heart in this place. I pray that they'd humble themselves to the Word. They would humble themselves to You, Father God, to hear Your message, Father God, for them today. Not something that John's given, not something that man's given, but something that You've given. Father God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit right now would speak to individual hearts. Right now, this morning, Father God, speak to individual hearts. Father God, the areas that You know they need to change. Only You know, Father, I don't specifically know every single person in this area, in this room. But I know You know them. And Holy Spirit, I know You know them. So I pray right now that You speak to their hearts. So that they can begin the process of change. That they would value Your kingdom over the world's kingdom so that we can get going with the things of God. So we can kick it in gear, Father God, and we can begin to accomplish what You've called us to do. Father God, that we can do great things. We can be great because You're great in us. Father, I thank You and praise You for Your grace. It's so sufficient to overcome all the weaknesses that are in my flesh. I thank You that You've accomplished it for me, Father God, and I need to just step into it and accomplish it, Father God, through Your grace that's in me. Father, I thank You for it. Praise You for it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise You, Jesus. We thank You for it. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus or you're not filled with the Spirit, you know, after service, as soon as I let go, I just want you to come up front. You know, I want to pray with you. If you're a young person that needs to reconnect themselves with God and you didn't do it in the prayer, then and you want just somebody to stand in prayer with you or an old person or whoever you are, then come up. You know, I really felt an emphasis on the young people this morning. I don't know. I just encourage you guys. God wants to do great things in you. Young or old, He wants to do great things in us. Hallelujah. With that, come on up front if you want any of that. You're dismissed.